Hello and welcome to the Art Engager podcast with me, Claire Baum. I'm here to share techniques and tools to help you engage with your audience and bring art, objects and ideas to life. So let's dive into this week's show. Hello and welcome back to the Art Engager podcast. I'm your host, Claire Baum of Thinking Museum, and this is episode 125. So this week I'm talking about rapport. What is it? Why is it important? And how can we build it in the museum? But before that, last week I was chatting to New York Times bestselling author and journalist Bianca Bosca about her new book, Get the Picture. We discussed why art matters and how we can engage with it more deeply. This was such a good episode and we had a great chat. Do go and listen to episode 124 if you haven't already. And now that The Art Engager has well over 100 episodes, this podcast is a great resource. Take your pick from the back catalogue of different episodes to brush up on your skills, be inspired, and learn new techniques. And if you want to support this show and keep it going for the next 100 episodes, you can do so by treating me to a cup of tea on buymeacoffee.com/Claire Baum. I'll also put a link in the show notes. And if you have a question for the show, feel free to get in touch. I'm always happy to answer any questions you have, especially those that other listeners might find interesting. So let's get on with today's show. I recently wrote an article for the Journal of Museum Education, or JME, inspired by the coaching training that I did in 2022. The course I took for my training covered a wide range of important coaching topics, and we explored various approaches, practitioners, and models. And during the course, we got to coach others, be coached ourselves, and watch coaching in action. We also got feedback from our tutor and from our classmates. Now, going through this process, getting a coaching certification really helped me to grow personally and professionally. It made me think deeply about how I work as a museum educator, as a facilitator, coach, and trainer. And I learned so much more about my own facilitator style and what guides it. So the article that I wrote for the JME wasn't about how museum educators can benefit from receiving coaching or from becoming coaches themselves. Instead, it focused on how museum educators can benefit from using coaching skills to enhance their teaching and improve the visitor experience. Because when you train to become a coach, it's really not just about collecting a whole new set of skills. Coach training really helps you to understand yourself, and this self-awareness helps you to grow. So in my article, I explored our 5 key coaching competencies coupled with a coaching mindset can empower us as museum educators. It can improve our teaching methods and enhance the experience for visitors too. Now, one of the competencies I talked about in this article is building rapport. Now, rapport is something that I bring up frequently in my facilitation and training workshops. And I frequently get asked, but what is rapport? What do you mean by the word rapport? And it's quite a subtle or nuanced concept. It's also not something that comes up in everyday conversation. But people often intuitively sense when there's a strong rapport in a situation, or equally when it's lacking, but they may struggle to pinpoint exactly how it came about. So when rapport is present, people feel at ease, they feel comfortable, connected with others. When rapport has been established in a group or in a one-to-one situation, a flow in conversation and interaction is likely to occur. This is when, you know, there's that seamless and effortless exchange of ideas where participants are fully immersed and engaged in the interaction. But when rapport is absent, interactions might feel strained or disconnected. Maybe participants might exhibit more guarded behavior, the communication might be more superficial, and any nonverbal clues you pick up on might signal discomfort or disinterest. The atmosphere might also feel stilted and one that perhaps hinders any genuine connection and engagement. So let's have a go at defining what rapport is before we move on to why it's important. So from a variety of different definitions, from various dictionaries, rapport refers to a friendly, close, sympathetic, harmonious relationship. And that's especially a relationship characterized by agreement, mutual understanding, or empathy, things that make communication possible or easy. And people or groups that have a good rapport are often in sync with each other, so they understand each other's feelings or ideas and communicate smoothly. So essentially, rapport refers to a good relationship where there's mutual understanding, trust, and connection between people. So why is it important? Well, in a nutshell, rapport creates positive relationships. It makes communication easier and it helps people to work together better. So rapport has been shown to be beneficial in many areas, things like psychotherapy, medicine, and in teaching and education. This positive relationship helps people work together better and to form what is often called a working alliance. And rapport matters in all sorts of activities because it makes the whole experience better for everyone involved. So how does it relate to us as museum educators? Well, when we're working in the museum, it really helps to create a welcoming and engaging environment. When we establish rapport with visitors, we can build trust, understanding, and connection. And it makes it easier for us to communicate effectively and to facilitate more meaningful learning experiences. So when participants have a positive rapport with a museum educator or facilitator on their program, they're more likely to feel comfortable asking questions, sharing their thoughts, and engaging with the objects, ideas, and themes in the museum. When participants feel rapport in a group, they are much more likely to participate. So building strong relationships and rapport amongst participants is incredibly important for making your programs not only successful, but also memorable. So when participants feel valued, they feel understood, they feel supported by the facilitators of the group and their peers, they are much more likely to form positive memories associated with the experience. And I think when we focus on rapport as well, we make visitors or the participants in our programs the main priority. We create an environment that revolves around their needs, their interests, their experiences. It means we prioritize connection over content. We place the emphasis on establishing meaningful relationships and fostering a sense of belonging with participants rather than focusing solely on the information or knowledge we're sharing. So we now know what rapport is and why it's important. How can we build rapport in our museum programs? So there are a number of ways of doing this, and I'm going to share just a few with you today. So to build rapport, you might want to think about doing some or all of the following. So firstly, being welcoming and approachable. So we've talked about this before on this podcast. Create a warm and friendly atmosphere that encourages visitors to engage with you and with each other. So work on your introduction. We have a whole episode, which I'll link to in the show notes, about creating your four-part introduction. Work on that so that it actively sparks connection. Make sure you include time to warm up your group to help participants feel comfortable and begin interacting with each other. So things like observation activities are great for this. Secondly, you might want to think about coordinating with your group. And this essentially means getting into rhythm with the group that you're with. And you can do this in a number of ways. So you can subtly mirror the body language, tone of voice, and pacing of the participants. And this helps to create a sense of connection. And it doesn't mean imitating the group, because this will come across as annoying or inauthentic, but it means more mirroring the general message of their posture, of their energy. And you can also work on your attentiveness too. So this can be done by nonverbal ways, by smiling or nodding your head or looking at the person speaking. And thinking about proximity too. So teachers in the classroom use things like physical proximity, and they use gestures that create a sense of closeness and connection. And by physically positioning themselves closer to students and engaging in behaviors that convey warmth and connection, teachers can establish this sense of closeness and rapport with their students. So these techniques are immediately applicable in our work too in the museum. A third idea is to build commonality. This is about finding shared interests or experiences in order to build rapport. And a side note here, this doesn't have to be exclusively between you and the group. It can also work between group members themselves and between group members and the exhibitions or objects or artworks you're exploring. And I think that when people discover they have something in common with others, it creates a sense of connection and understanding. So show genuine interest in your group members when they share their thoughts, and share your own experiences too, maybe some personal stories, just to establish this commonality and connection with your group. And I can't talk about building rapport without talking about listening. So in coaching, listening, attentiveness, and rapport are often intertwined. And we all know that listening is such an important part of our work, but are we really aware of the extent to which listening helps us to break or build rapport? So often in my training workshops, I use an exercise called attentive listening in pairs. And in this exercise, and you might want to try this out yourself, is you have two people together and one person speaks about an easy subject, such as my last holiday, whilst the other listens carefully, maintaining eye contact and using nonverbal cues like nodding and mirroring body language to show they're engaged. After this first round, we then reflect as a group, sharing observations from both perspectives of the listener and the person speaking. And this first round really helps participants to experience firsthand how active engagement and support from someone listening can enhance the quality of communication and create a sense of connection. The second round, we repeat the exercise, but this time the listener intentionally breaks rapport with the speaker. Now, they might do this by interrupting or looking at their phone or coughing or whatever means they choose to break rapport. It's a powerful exercise in demonstrating what disengagement feels like. And it really shows the importance of maintaining rapport for effective communication and relationship building. When we actively listen, it creates a sense of connection and rapport. It enriches interactions and it makes our museum experiences more meaningful. So don't just pay lip service to the value of listening. Really think about how listening helps us to build rapport with others. And the last way to build rapport I'd like to touch on in this episode is by paying attention to how you follow up on what someone has said. So in interactive participative museum programs, it's important to acknowledge and value what participants say. And museum educators are often taught to paraphrase what participants have said to them. And paraphrasing is repeating in your own words what you understood someone else to have said. It can be an effective and helpful communication tool that really showcases active listening. However, it's not without its critics. And Nancy Klein's book, Time to Think, and I'm a huge fan of Nancy Klein, she writes that paraphrasing is flawed. And by rephrasing, we might be seen to be improving on what someone else has said, rather than believing that the best wording is their own. This can damage rapport. It can unintentionally suggest that our words are better. So in your programs, I'd urge you to try a mix of restating and paraphrasing, something I like to call reflecting back, in order to keep building rapport with your group. Note what happens, note which approach has the best effect at creating rapport. So let's recap what we've covered today. In this episode, we've explored what rapport is, why it's important, and I've shared some techniques to help you build rapport. Things like creating a welcoming environment, coordinating or mirroring with your group, finding commonalities, active listening, and finally, being aware of how you might use paraphrasing or restating or a mixture of those two to build rapport. So by taking the time and effort to build rapport, we can create more engaging and enriching museum programs. We can foster deeper connections with visitors, and we can enhance their overall enjoyment and memories of their museum experience. So that's it for this week. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Art Engager podcast with me, Claire Baum. You can find more art engagement resources by visiting my website, thinkingmuseum.com. And you can also find me on Instagram at Thinking Museum, where I regularly share tips and tools on how to bring art to life and engage your audience. If you've enjoyed this episode, please share with others and subscribe to the show on your podcast player of choice. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.